Turn with me, real, to the book of Acts, 24th chapter. No, 26th chapter. 27th, that's right. I tell you, I'm having trouble reading here. These words are getting littler. I don't know what the Bible's shrunk or something. I'm sure it wouldn't be my eyesight. Acts, 26th chapter, the 24th verse.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There you go. 24th verse. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee man. May the Lord have his blessing in the reading of his word. Again, Lord, I ask that you would take us, Father, to use us. Bring forth the message this morning, Lord, that we need. Help us, O God, for we're nothing without you. In the name of Jesus, we do ask you. And amen.
Well, so that way.
I failed to mention there the fact that last Sunday you were treated with a a fresh anointing. Tim was brought message, and I wondered when. Well, I didn't want to read because I knew that God would use him. He would just stand up. God would use any one of us if we just allow him to. And as I, when I came home, one of the first things I done. Monday, I punched into the computer and pulled it up our website. You don't know if it's there. The website is up and running, and you can hear any sermon over again. Tom records it and it's put back onto there. So, yes, and I turned that on and I listened to that when he was talking about the door and the knock. And it was good. God did use it. And I'm sure you were blessed by it. And I thank them for that. You know, Art's an old timer at this, and he's been at it for years. And I could have asked Art, and he would have stood up here just, I know he would have, just like that. But we need to get some young people involved in the church. That was my thought. That we need to get somebody to come up behind us. Folks, we ain't going to be here long. I'm 75 years old this month, and I ain't got just a few more days. I keep telling Lord that the rate we're going are getting fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer. But that's up to God. That's not up to me. But it's good. The scripture that I read was Paul, when he was on trial, they sought some way to destroy him and kill him. They thought that they could silence him, but as they were trying to accuse him, they were having a little bit of difficulty because Paul was a lot more educated than a lot of them. He was pretty smart. He had been brought up under the highest of the teaching. It's like today that we say he had a master's degree for people right up there with a doctor's degree. I think they even call him a doctor, didn't they? Okay. But anyhow, he had the qualifications, he had the knowledge. And as he was standing there before the governor, he was telling him, rehearsing, of the things that he had done. He told him that back when he was in his younger, previous time, that he was a persecutor of the Christians. Yes, he done it. He went all over. He went everywhere persecuting Christians. He even went so far as to give his consent for those to be put to death for believing in Jesus Christ. He gave his consent to this. He was on his way, he told the men, he was telling this And he said, I was on my way to Damascus. And he said, as I was going down that road, he said, a light came upon me and upon those that was with me. He said, it was brighter than the sun. Wow. What kind of a light? We're going to go into that. What kind of a light would be brighter than the sun? Well, we've seen flashes of lightning. We've seen arc or electric welders, and we've seen all bright lights of all kinds. But the light that Paul seen was brighter than anything that we could possibly imagine. It was so bright that it blinded him. It blinded him. And he told this court, he said, the message that he heard, he said, we all fell on the ground. It was so bright. It was so overpowering that it put us on the ground. And he heard the voice. He heard the voice speaking. He said, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for me to kick against the goat. He said, why were you persecuting me? It wasn't the Christians that was talking, it was God Himself that was talking. It was Jesus Christ that had appeared to Paul. He made His appearance. Why are you persecuting me? Well, let me tell you, folks, the message got to Paul. Now, we being preachers, tries to bring forth the word as best we can in our humble, as you can tell, a way that is not quite ethical to a lot of people, maybe. And I don't have the best of education. And I might not use the fanciest words, but if you just listen to the message that God sends to your heart, you will be changed. Or you can turn it off. Paul said that when he was blinded by that light, he went on to tell him, but this is what he was being accused of following Jesus. Believing in Jesus Christ was the crime that they were trying, and they were trying to make out like it was blasphemy. He reversed the tables on them. He did. He said, Festus, you believe in the prophets? I know you believe in the prophets. The message that the prophets brought from the Old Testament time was exactly the same message that Paul was trying to tell them when they're at the court. The exact same. But they believed it. But they were ready to condemn it. Yeah. He went on and on telling them of this, and Festus looked up at him and he said, as the scriptures I just read to you, much learning has made you mad. Wow. Well, now that's quite possible. I can remember occasions, probably one especially, that education seemed to be something that he drove for, to learn, went on and on and on, just one thing after another, to a point that he had a breakdown, that it had made him lose a nervous breakdown. And he started doing funny little things when he come to visit us. He done little things that kind of tipped us off, like, whoa, here, something quite, it's not quite right, you know. But the thing was that he went over the edge. That's what they were accusing Paul of. He said, much learning has made you mad. Now I think about today's ways that we're following, you know, with the computers and all of that. And this old mind that we've got is much like the computer. Tom just built me a computer. And I don't think Not a thing in there. And that's a little bit like our minds. We kind of are blank until we start filling with all these things, and we get a lot of things we put in there that we shouldn't put in there. There's a lot of things in our minds, in our learning, that we should not have in there. And you know, it's a hard thing sometimes to make that change. See, Paul was in his younger days a direct enemy to God. All the things that he had studied and all the things that he had done, he was a strict Pharisee. He knew it all. He knew the law very well. But he was using it against God, which made all these things that he was doing wrong. It was hard for him to make a change. God had to do it. Folks, it's hard for you and I to leave an old corrupt life, the life that we have lived forever, probably, for years, going the way we did, thinking we were right, having a good time, and all this. It's hard to make that change. And believe me, you cannot change it yourself.
Amen.
You can't do it. Only God can change you or I. He can change our attitudes. He can change our speech. He can change everything about us. And as the song said a while ago, we turn it all over to Him. That's when the change comes. It's when we allow Him to make a change in our life. Paul did just that. He had no choice. He had no choice. Because when he was struck with that bright light that blinded him, he fell to the earth. When he got up, he couldn't see nothing. He was blinded. But he had his instructions exactly what to do, and he had a choice, as every one of us has a choice. When God tells us what we have to do, he tells us exactly. We have that choice. Paul had that. He could have said, he could have complained about all this and that and felt sorry for himself and all this, but no. Because when God touched him, he done it right. And when God touches you and I, he does it right. All we have to do is just listen and follow exactly what he did, just that. He followed it exactly. He went and the scales fell off of his eyes and he could see. He could not only see with the physical eyes, he could see with a spiritual eye. He had been changed completely. He was telling me, there's that trial. He was down. Well, he looked up. I know I'm getting mixed up because my mind was too beautiful. I think it was Agrippa, was it? No. But he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. How many people have sat under the preaching of the gospel in the pews of the church and clamped the back of them pews so hard to keep from giving up and letting God take over? He said, almost. And as the song goes, almost, but lost. Left without allowing God to have his way. Almost. Paul looked on. He said, I would that you, not only you, the whole world would hear. The same. Much learning to make you mad. Much learning to make you glad. Much learning enjoying our salvation as we should. I really don't believe that we're enjoying the gift that God has given us as we really should. If we were, I don't know, it would rub off. As we said in Sunday school this morning, that how can the world tell you that you are a Christian? Can they tell it by your walk, your talk, or what happens? If we were enjoying what God has given us to the fullest, we could not wait to get into the church, to fellowship one with another. It would be the standing out among us. It would be the thing of our life. It would be the very thing that we just put it on, you know. But no, we endure. We can come and we can sit for an hour here on Sunday morning. We can listen to the music, the song that we put together in a hurry. We can listen to the preacher go on and on. We can listen to the stories of the gospel. We can do all of this. And when we get done at 11 or 12 o'clock, we can get up and we can go out the door and say, "Whew, I'm glad that's over." We can endure. Or we can endure. We have a choice. And you know, I don't know about you, but I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy getting into the gospel. I enjoy the prayers of the people. I enjoy all these. I enjoy the music, although sometimes we do it physical job. But I enjoy it because it's my life. It's the thing that I have said, "Lord, that's what I want." Because it's good. It makes you feel good inside. God's able to touch us. But you know, there's many people that say, "I don't want it." They get right up to the edge and say, "No. Almost. But not quite." Paul would have had it. He had the education. He had all the qualifications. He was in the flesh. He wanted to go to the top. He wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to go right there to the very top to tell them about Jesus. He was so determined. Well, we have that same opportunity. We can tell people about Jesus. You can't save anyone. You can take it to the man if we would just allow Christ to lead us, guide us, and show us what we need to do. I keep harping on this, I know. But whenever we decide that we're going to do what God wants us to do, we're going to work. We're going to work together. We're going to work as one. We're going to be one in Jesus Christ, both in and out of the church. We're going to work together. Not put heart on it. Maybe. There's so many people probably within walking distance of this church. They're not in church anymore. There probably are people that will leave this world this week without knowing Jesus. Could I have introduced him? Could you have introduced him to Jesus? But they wouldn't be lost. Go into the devil's hell. There may be in our own family. I don't know. You don't know my heart. I don't know you. God knows it for me. We have opportunity. As I said earlier, we've got might feel in the near future, this right here at opportunity, we've got new people, these new kids coming in to be baptized. That's great. It's a lift. It's a lift for our church. It's an assurance that this gospel of Jesus Christ will be carried on. I don't know how long God's going to allow this country to go as it is, this world as it is, until He says enough is enough is enough. Come, church. Could be any day. But until that day comes, we are not done. We are not done. We can't sit on it. We've got to move. As I said a while ago, we put this song together there in a hurry. You're going to see more of that. You're going to see people involved. You're going to see people standing up, doing something, whatever it is, but searching our own heart, saying, God, what would you have me to do? That's the important thing. One of my own sayings is that, happy is the person who knows what God wants them to do and does it. Following that. Pray. We ask you, God, just to be with each and every one of us. Lord, fill us. Show us, Lord, of your way, what you would have us to do. We ask you, God, that none be lost on our account. None be lost because we failed to mention your holy name. We ask you, God, to do our little church, give us strength, courage, hope. We know, Lord, that Satan is out to destroy us. But Lord, we know that your power is greater than anything Satan can throw at us. Help us, O God.